In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Recently, I was listening to an interview with a very well-known and accomplished chef. And this chef described herself as a little bit bossy and a little bit of a perfectionist. And in the course of the interview, I learned that in the restaurant world, the word chef is used as a verb, as a way to describe taking charge of what's happening in the kitchen, as in somebody had better chef this thing or it's going to be a complete disaster. Well, this chef who was being interviewed explained that very early on in her career, she'd been at it for many, many years, decades, but early on in her career, many nights at the restaurant would end with her sobbing in her car. The problem was that while she knew how to chef her team in such a way that they delivered plates of culinary perfection to each and every customer, she did not know how to chef while also loving her team in the process. Which meant that when they closed the restaurant for the night, nobody on her team was going to ask her out for a drink after work. Nobody wanted to be around her, and she knew it. She desperately wanted to learn how to love and care for her team, even as she chefed them to do their best. And friends, the truth is, if any of us were to stop and take an honest look at our lives, we would find examples of the damage that we have done when we have not loved well, be it loving God or loving each other. One of the most important aspects of the Christian journey is learning how to love. That's what this passage from John is all about. Jesus is teaching us how we can grow in our ability to love people, which we can sometimes find so incredibly difficult. Now, these eight verses of John 15 that I just read for you, they're actually the sequel for what Jesus said in the first half of John 15. In the first half, verses 1 through 8, Jesus used an image of a vine to illustrate how we are to live and to love. And we need to have that image of the vine in the backs of our minds as we look at today's passage. So please allow me to plant that image in your mind by reading for you what Jesus said in the first half of chapter 15. Listen. Jesus said, "Abide in me as I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." This is the image that we need to keep in the back of our minds. The image of Jesus as the vine and us as the branches. And as the branches, Jesus calls us to abide, obey, and bear fruit. Abide, abide, obey, and bear fruit. Picking up now in verse 9, Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." I think someone ought to write a book for young adults entitled Super Secret Facts That No One Tells You About Adulthood. And chapter 1 should be entitled Making New Friends Is Not As Easy As Falling Off a Log. Now, some of you have been fortunate enough to have grown up in this town. You have known the same people all your life. But for those of us who've had to move around in life, one of the things you quickly discover as a young adult is that true, life-giving relationships don't just happen. Back when you were in school, when you spent every day with other students who were all the same age, going through the same thing that you were going through, back then, friendships did seem to just sort of happen. But when you become an adult and you move into a new town, you learn that you've got to be intentional if you want to foster new friendships. Well, beloved, it's no different in our relationship with a living God. Now, God's always there. But if you want to draw strength from Him, if you want to receive guidance from Him, if you want to be healed by Him, then you have an active role to play in fostering that relationship. When Jesus said, "Abide in my love," that's not passive. That's not something that just happens to you. It's something that you need to do in order that you might receive the benefits of His love. Abide in my love. Now, Jesus is doing most of the work, but we still have an active role to play. And what does it actually look like to abide in Jesus' love? Well, you'll be happy to know it begins with what we're doing right now. It begins with our worship. Sunday by Sunday, we gather together to give praise and glory to God, and our worship grafts us into the vine. And when we come together as His body and surrender over our time and energy in this act of worship, week in and week out, Jesus' love begins to flow into our hearts to strengthen us and heal us. Friends, our worship together as a body, it's one of the most important ways that we abide in Jesus' love. But what about tomorrow? What about Monday morning? Well, I'll suggest two things, two practical ways that you can abide in Jesus' love. Number one, offer Him the day at the beginning. And then number two, listen for Him all the way through to the end. So tomorrow morning, you wake up, your eyes open up, before your feet hit the ground, pray. Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. I give this day and all that it holds over to you. Please grant me the grace to abide in your love today, to receive my strength from you, to take my cues from you, to live my life for you today. And grant me the grace, Lord Jesus, to seek you throughout this day and to bring before you every decision, every interaction, every challenge, so that whatever this day holds, I can continue to abide in, remain in your love. Now, I'd be willing to bet that if I passed out a questionnaire to all of you with the question, do you believe God loves you? My hunch is that most of you could probably check yes. But then if I had a follow-up question, but do you know, deep down in your bones, that God loves you? My hunch is that for many of us, we'd be searching for that box that says, maybe? Jesus wants you to know, deep down in your bones, that He loves you. Abide in my love. If you listen to that colic that Justin prayed over us just a few moments ago, you see that that's precisely what it's praying. I'll reread it for you, the first part of it anyway. Justin prayed over us, "Oh God, you have prepared for those who love you such things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you." Friends, if you don't know deep down in your bones that Jesus loves you, pray, ask Him. It is His delight to pour His love into your hearts that you might know that He loves you. Abide, obey, bear fruit. Now that word obey, it doesn't show up in the text, but I'm using obey as shorthand for what Jesus says here in verses 10 and 14. Let me reread for you. In verse 10, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, obey. You will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And then in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I commanded you. Obey." Friends, this obedience to which Jesus calls us, it is different than the obedience that most of us experience in this life that is put upon us. Because in this life, when someone tells you either directly or indirectly that you need to obey, such demands for obedience are typically backed up with a threat, as in either you better do what I say or else. And in those cases, our obedience, let's be honest, is motivated by fear. Fear of the consequences. However, the obedience to which Jesus calls us is not based in fear. Now, it never hurts to be afraid of the havoc we can wreak through our sin. I mean, that's a good thing to be scared about, afraid of, absolutely. But that's not the basis of our obedience to Jesus. No, Jesus' true friends are glad to obey him because they've come to see just how much he loves them. When I was a teenager, I had this recurring dream. I'm at a concert for one of my favorite bands. I'm out in the crowd, and at some point during the concert, one of the band members points out into the crowd to me and says, "Come on up on stage." They hand me a guitar, and as soon as I start to play, I can play like Eddie Van Halen or Eric Clapton or fill in your favorite guitarist. It's an amazing feeling. That is, of course, until I wake up and realize it was just a dream. I'd be willing to bet that many of you have had your own version of that same dream, not a rock concert, not playing guitar, but the sort of dream from which you hate to wake. And what are those dreams really about? They're not about playing the guitar or being up on stage. No, what those sorts of dreams are really about is a deep heart need that we all share, the need to be loved, the need to be wanted and valued and cherished, the deep longing to hear someone whom we admire say to us, "I want you." That's what those dreams are really about. Well, just imagine for a moment what it would be like if something like that actually happened. Imagine someone whom you admire, someone who's so far out of your league that they have no reason even to know that you exist. And imagine that person reaching out to you and saying, "I want you to come and be part of what I'm doing." If you can put yourself into that place, then it's not hard to see in that situation that you would be glad to give your obedience. In my case, if one of my favorite bands invited me to come up and be part of the band, I'd be thrilled to play along on whatever song they want me to play on. In fact, I'd be glad to carry the amplifiers and the cords, and I'd be even be willing to take their leather jackets to the dry cleaner. I would do whatever it takes. Why? Not for fear, but because they first had reached out to me and said, "We want you, we value you." My obedience would only be natural in that situation. Friends, that's how it is with Jesus. The King of the universe, you didn't choose him, he chose you. Jesus, the Lord of the universe, wants you to graft yourself into his love so that when you see how much he loves you, when you hear his voice calling out to you and saying, "Come, be part of what I am doing," then it will only be natural for you to want to do his will and obey. Dr. D.A. Carson, who is one of our speakers at Mere Anglicanism, wrote the following to explain what Jesus meant when he said, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Listen to what Dr. Carson wrote. He said, "This obedience is not what makes Jesus' disciples his friends. No, this obedience is what characterizes his friends." Let me read it again. This obedience is not what makes Jesus' disciples his friends. It's what characterizes his friends. In other words, those who draw near to Jesus and abide in his love, those persons who come to see firsthand how much Jesus loves them and cares for them, they will be glad to obey him. So much of the pain in this world that's brought about by our disobedience, it would vanish like a vapor. If only we would abide in and be filled with the love of Christ, so that his love can flow into our hearts and become the wellspring of our obedience. Again, friends, is that love of God flowing out from the vine and into your hearts? If not, ask him to be filled with it. Abide. Obey, bear fruit. Picking up at verse 16, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I have commanded to you, so that you will love one another." What kind of fruit is Jesus looking for? He's not looking for apples or tangerines. What kind of fruit is he looking for? He's looking for the fruit of our love for other people. That is, Jesus is calling us to abide in his love, to receive and be filled by his love, so that we can then bear the fruit of his love as his branches. Now, friends, even a pagan can love the lovable. Loving the lovable is easy. Anybody can do it. But Jesus didn't come to love the lovable. No, he came to love folks like you and me. Folks who, from time to time, can be ugly to each other. And just as Jesus came to love the unlovely, he calls on us to do the same. To receive his love so that we can be empowered to do better than the pagans. And to love not just the lovely, but to love the unlovely. Or as my friend once put it, she said, you know, to love those persons to whom you feel like you're allergic. You ever feel like you're allergic to someone? That's who we're called to love. And you can only do that. You can only bear that kind of fruit of love if the love of Christ is flowing from the vine into you, his branches. This world is experiencing an enormous deficit of love. More often than not, when you see someone who is driven to achieve success and status and possessions and position, what's really going on underneath is a vain attempt to try and fill the gaping holes of unworthy, insecure, unwanted, unloved. And Jesus is saying to us, abide in my love so that you might receive from me and then bear the fruit of that same love for this world that is starving for it and doesn't even know it. Friends, let me ask you the question. How do the people around you experience you? How do your neighbors experience you? When they see you coming down the street, are they drawn to the love of Christ that's in you? Does their hunger for meaning and worth and value and belonging find nourishment through the fruit of love that you bear as a branch of the vine? How do your coworkers experience you? Many of us here this morning are leaders in our organizations, leaders out in the community. Would the people who work under you say this about you? My boss is one of the most loving persons I have ever met. Even when I have completely messed up and I know he's frustrated, she's frustrated with me. Even then, when he's reprimanding me, she's reprimanding me, I can tell that he cares about me. He loves me. Could those who work under you say that about you? This is the fruit that Jesus is looking for. The fruit that is only possible if you abide in the vine. Ray Stedman, that great pastor and Bible teacher, put it so beautifully. He said, God is not primarily interested in what we can accomplish for him. That might actually come as a surprise. No, God is not primarily interested in what we can accomplish for him. No, he is primarily interested in the kind of people we become. The kind of people who bear the sort of fruit that begins to grow when the people of God abide in the vine of Jesus' love. Abide, obey, bear fruit. May God grant you the grace to abide in his love, to obey him out of the wellspring of that love, and to bear fruit, loving others beyond your own ability, having received the love of God in your own hearts. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Amen.